Blog Talk Radio.
You are now connected to the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Taking on 2,000 years of indoctrination, 2 hours at a time.
Sink or swim, deep end information.
Asking questions no one else will.
Parabiblical research, spiritual technology, personal empowerment.
Be your own guru.
Master your own ascension.
Guide your own spirit.
And now, showing you how, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Well, good morning or good afternoon, whatever may be the case, wherever you are. Great to have people listening from all over the globe, but it does make the greeting somewhat problematic. Glad to have you with us today. This is Jeffrey Dardy with the fresh daily version of the Christian Whistleblower Show. The fresh daily show is brought to you by Fresh Daily Co., FreshDailyCo.com, Gourmet Coffee and Skateboarding, FreshDailyCo.com. Give them a look and sit back and enjoy some fresh daily of your own as I am as we talk here this morning for a few minutes. As always, I want to remind you that you can follow me on Twitter under NC Kabbalah, like me on Facebook, and I do have a website, www.jeffreydardy.com, and also christianwhistleblower.com. So we welcome you to check those out as well. And on christianwhistleblower.com, jeffreydardy.com, we do have the Religion Watch Daily, proving to be a very, very popular feature. And what it does basically is takes and searches the internet. I do that myself, and put up interesting, outrageous, sometimes funny things about religion. A couple of the highlights that are on there today at jeffreydardy.com. Actress explains why she dumped Scientology. The King of Queens actress, Leah Remini, turned her back on Scientology 2 years ago, and now she's finally opening up about her reasons for quitting the church. In an episode of Oprah's Where Are They Now? Seems like Oprah gets a lot of the Scientologists on her show. There's a conspiracy theory just waiting to happen. Tom Cruise, Will Smith, now Leah Remini. But Remini, seriously, she revealed that she's still going through an extensive amount of healing. She was in the organization for more than 30 years with her entire family. And she speaks about how her family suffered because of the church. In her opinion, it formed who she is, good or bad. And that was one of her revelations. But that is there, and you can certainly take a look at that. Also, a man, I believe he's a black man, says that Adam and Eve were white and sues educators. His name is Kenneth Sims. He's a resident of Jefferson County, West Virginia. And he claims that school officials have taught his daughter about evolution, which he says will prevent her ambitions of becoming a vet. I don't really understand that. And they're in violation of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. And I think what the article is trying to say is that this is a black man, and the school was teaching that Adam and Eve were white, so it's a bad thing. But, of course, you know, why is a church teaching that, or a school teaching that anyway, would be my question. But at any rate, the Jefferson County, West Virginia School Board has a new lawsuit that they're going to deal with. And a preacher says a gay power spirit is taking over the world. The gay power spirit. I wonder if you found that in the Bible. But anyway, I don't want to say his name because I don't want to give him any free publicity. But he is a leader of a church in New Zealand where we have a lot of listeners. So I don't want to give him – it's the Destiny Church in New Zealand. He's known for his active stance against the LGBT community and has proclaimed four problems with the New Zealand government, one of those being the radical homosexual agenda. And he claims that the gay power spirit is taking over the world. You know what? We talked about it yesterday. It's not the gay power spirit. And then here's another one, new low. This is my opinion. It was a new low. Muslim spies have infiltrated every church in America to kill Christians. You know, these two stories are emblematic of the fact that the church is losing its grip on Western civilization. People are leaving in droves, and they're trying to find someone to blame. Gay power is to blame. Muslim spies are to blame. No, gay power is not to blame. Muslim spies are not to blame. It's not the Jews' fault. It's not anybody's fault other than the fact that, as we talked about yesterday, ignorance is going by the wayside and information is becoming available, and we're just able to see these guys are crazy. And here's one that I have to read. Prophet dies after being buried alive and not resurrecting. Five people are facing a murder charge for participating in the death of self-professed prophet. He's an African gentleman, can't say his name, Nigerian, I believe, who accidentally died during a healing ceremony. He had reportedly asked his followers to bury him alive so that he could summon more cleansing powers to heal the family that had been plagued by mysterious deaths. Oh, my. So there you have it. The interesting, the pathetic, and the somewhat humorous on Religion Watch Daily. Wow. That was certainly some interesting stuff. Well, today, you know, we've titled the show Once More from the Beginning, and we want to talk about the beginnings. And the beginnings I'm talking about specifically are the beginnings of the Yeshua or Jesus movement. You call him Jesus, I call him Yeshua. We'll talk about why at some point. But the Yeshua movement started about 30 AD-ish. We're not certain exactly when, but right around that time. And it started in Jerusalem. Now, Christianity, or what has become Christianity, or really the faith of Paul, started about 35 AD, so about 5 years later, and it started in Antioch. I'll give you a little bit of homework. You can go into the book of Acts, find a concordance, or go online and grab one. And there's a verse that says that believers were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, I ask you a question. My question is, if the disciples of Yeshua or Jesus were alive and well in Jerusalem, and this other group was being started in Antioch, then why was this other group in Antioch given a different name? And why, if this was the right name, did the disciples in Jerusalem not adopt it? The simple fact of the matter is that the Yeshua movement was alive and well when Paul started his movement named Christianity, and they were named Christian in Antioch to differentiate them from the Yeshua movement, which was still based in Jerusalem. And the question that comes to my mind is, why have we been kept ignorant of this, and why have we really been taught and shown and led to believe that this was just a development? We were taught that, you know, the disciples were there in Jerusalem, Jesus left, then Paul brought us in a new truth, even gave us the name of Christian. That's wrong. That's a lie. That's a fallacy. That's a deception. That's a diversion. That's a delusion. The name Christian was coined. Paul's religion was started while the Jesus movement, the Yeshua movement, was still alive and well in Jerusalem, just a few miles away. So you have the Yeshua movement alive and well, growing and thriving in Jerusalem. And you have the Paul movement, where they were first called Christians, in Antioch. Simultaneously, contemporaneously, at the same time. And the problem with this all, and the way that we've been duped for so long, has to do with the very nature of the New Testament itself. The New Testament is not a book. We've been taught that the New Testament is a book. We have this concept in our heads that the New Testament is a book. Well, actually, the New Testament is not a book. In fact, the New Testament is a collection of 27 books. And actually, they weren't really 27 books in the way that we understand books. They were 27 letters, by and large, by the apostles of Yeshua or Jesus and by Paul himself. The first of these letters was published in AD 47. The last of these letters were published in AD 96. Now, don't let your eyes glaze over and don't let your mind wander. I have to read you a little bit of a list, but this is vital, this is crucial, and this will blow your mind, have your jaw dropped, and make you begin to realize, holy crap, Batman, I've been sold a bill of goods. Here is the actual order of chronological publication of the books of the New Testament. The first one was published in AD 47, AD 52 the second, AD 53, three of them published in AD 57, two of them published in AD 58, four of them in AD 62, AD 65, AD 66, two books, AD 67, 68, three books, then a long gap, nothing written or published between AD 68 and AD 90 when four books were written and published, and then finally the last one was in AD 96. So the first book in the New Testament was published in AD 47. The first book in the New Testament was published in AD 47. So we're talking about the book of Matthew, right? I mean, obviously, we've all read the New Testament. The book of Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. So that had to be the one that was written in AD 47, because everybody knows that Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Let me give you a little clue, especially when you're talking about things religious or spiritual in nature. When everybody knows something, it's time to start asking questions. When everybody knows thus and thus is so, it's time to start asking questions. Because many times, the fact that everybody knows means that everybody's eyes have been blinded to something. So I would recommend, in religious and spiritual terms, look at everything everybody knows and begin to question it. Point in case, everybody knows that Matthew is the first book of the New Testament, and it was the one that was written first. So the first book of the New Testament was Matthew, right? Wrong. The first book in the New Testament that was written was James. It was number one in the real world, but in the new world that the New Testament, as currently constructed, has created, James is number 14. So the first book written is number 14 in the New Testament as we have it today. Why is the book that was number one in the real world number 14 in today's New Testament? Why? Listen, folks, it's number one in Paulianity, but it's number 14 in the Yeshua movement. Why? Historical reality, James number one. New Testament alternate reality, James's book number 14. And that's not the only one, so I'm just trying to make a point. what has happened is that the Pauline and Roman Christianity, Pauli-Roman Christianity, if you will, has created an alternative, an alternate timeline. They have warped time itself. They have created an alternate world. They have created really an alternate reality. They have constructed an alternate timeline that we are still trapped in today. The real Yeshua timeline is the one that I just read to you. The 47, 52, 53, 57, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let me read to you the warped timeline, the Pauline timeline, the timeline of the trap. Original, real history, 47, 52, 53, 57, 58, 62, 65, 66, 67, 68, 90, 96. Notice. That is sequential, that is chronological, that is in order. That's how things are done. We're told in the Bible that God is not a God of confusion, but yet the New Testament, the warped reality is the first book, AD 66, then AD 57, then AD 63, then 90, AD 65, 58, then the three books from AD 57, then the two books from AD 60, the three books from AD 62, then 52, 53, 67, back to 68 for those two books, back to 62, back to 68, back to 47, over to AD 60, then the gap, and then the three books from AD 90, one from AD 66 and one from AD 96. Can anybody give me one logical, realistic reason why a book that purports to show the historical development of the Christian religion would so jumble the order of the real revelation and chronological revelation of the books that were written? Why was it done? Ask yourself that crucial, critical, central question. Well, I'm just full of alliteration today, and I'm not really sure why. But the real Yeshua timeline has been warped, and we have been sold and are living in and are still trapped in an alternate timeline. Why was it done? I ask you again. And why have we been kept ignorant of it? Why have the vast majority of you never heard this until June 23rd, 2015, unless you've been on my website and saw the Diamond New Testament that we produced that removes the words of Paul and puts the New Testament in its chronological order. To my knowledge, the only New Testament ever produced in the correct chronological order. Am I trying to sell books? Not really. If you get that, you really will understand the New Testament in a new way. But you know what? If you do buy a book, then we'll put all that money towards the Plastic Jesus tour that we're trying to get going to get out on the road and bring this message from border to border and sea to shining sea. So why have you never heard this message until June 23rd, 2015? Why have you been completely ignorant of the fact that the New Testament is a jumbled mess? The real question is, why have they been keeping it from you? Why has your priest been keeping it from you? Why has your pastor been keeping it from you? The only rational explanation, my friends, is that there is no rational explanation. I've been asking for months since I first talked about this on my other version, the Christian Whistleblower Show, and I've made YouTube videos about it. I've asked, give me one good reason why the New Testament would have been jumbled. I still am waiting. It's like that meme you see on the internet, you know, waiting for a man to understand a woman. There's a skeleton sitting there. You know, I'm that guy. I'm not quite that thin, but I'm that guy. Sitting here waiting in vain for someone to tell me why and how the New Testament was so jumbled. The fact of the matter, folks, is I don't really need an answer. I know the answer. I have the answer because I have studied it out and thought about it myself. And the things that I talk about are the result of about 36 years of study And 15 of that, 16 of that, objective, not denominationally based, but getting back to the original language is trying to find us. So I don't fall out of bed in the morning. Actually, I sleep on a mat on the floor because it's much more healthy. So if I did fall, it would only be about a 3-inch fall. But anyway, I don't fall out of bed and just make this stuff up and get on the radio and bring it to you. The only rational explanation is there is no rational explanation. It was, is, continues to be a deliberate, systematic program of disinformation designed to create confusion and perpetuate ignorance. I was talking with someone last night, actually, instant messaging on Google. It's amazing how we have people that we're good friends with that we've never actually physically met. But, you know, there's a whole commentary in that. A lot of people decry it. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, when you're dealing with someone and talking with someone on the internet, you know, that does take away a lot of the, I guess, the hype and the distraction. So you're really getting to know that person, I think, in a more real way if you're both being honest. And this certainly isn't a romantic thing, so I have no doubt or question that my friend is indeed being himself. So it's interesting to know and to read and to, you know, talk to people and call them friends that you've never actually met. But at any rate, we talked about the fact that religion's been designed to keep us ignorant, and they've done a hell of a job. Because we have been and continue to be completely confused and ignorant. So mission accomplished, George Bush. But what we're looking at is a historical revisionism of the highest order, and it was meant to destroy Yeshua and launch Jesus, the dancing bear of Antioch. Ignorance has been, up until now, bliss. You see, folks, by jumbling up the order of the New Testament books, they were able to create this false narrative that kind of goes like this. The disciples and Jesus, and we're going to talk about that Jesus word, they came along and taught us some good, solid, basic information. And then Jesus had to be killed on a cross. And then the disciples, you know, they kind of had to go their way. And really, and a lot of times they'll say it, but a lot of times they won't say it. Well, there was too much Jewishness in those disciples, and really in Jesus too. So along Paul had to come to clean off all the Jewishness, to get rid of all the Jew off of the Christianity. So Paul came along and cleaned it all up, taught us some real deep truths. And then, of course, after Paul was finished teaching us, then we got to learn about prophecy through the book of Revelation. That's the world we live in. That's what you've been taught. That's what you believe. That's what we have been sold. Jesus, disciples, basic information, too much Jewish stuff. Paul comes along, cleans up the Jewish stuff, gives us the deeper truth that really is what we need to live by. And then along comes the book of Revelation to give us a peek into prophecy. That is the timeline we've been sold. But that's not reality. And the reason why the New Testament had to be jumbled was to create that. If you put the Gospels up front, the ones that were written in 42, the ones that were written in 66, 57, 63, and 90, you put that up front and you pretend that those were the first written. Do you understand what's happening? 66, 57, 63, 90, they were not even near the first four books. The first four books were started in 47, were finished by 57. So the books that they're telling us are the first four weren't even written by the time. It's just garbage. They're creating this false narrative. The four Gospels weren't first. All of the epistles of Paul weren't second. The only thing they got right is Revelation being last. But you see, the reality is that the New Testament was in fact and in reality an epic battle, an epic literary battle between the Yeshua movement and the movement of Paul, because the books were written almost every other book from the one camp. James writes in 47. Paul comes back in 52. The disciples write again in 53. Paul comes back in 57. It was a back and forth. The first book in the New Testament was written to out Paul as a false apostle. The second book in the New Testament was written as Paul's response to that. So what you really have in reality is a back and forth battle, and we're going to go into this in much more depth in the days and weeks to come. You have an epic battle between the religion of Yeshua and the religion of Paul. And it was back and forth, but they can't let you know that because it completely disrupts their false timeline. But when you begin to understand why the New Testament was jumbled, why the New Testament books were written in the order they were written, and what was contained in them, you begin to break out of the mind of the matrix. And that's what we're here for, is to show you the information. Now, I can lead a horse to water, but I can't make him drink. And I can lead a person to facts, but I can't make her think. It's totally up to you. I just deliver the mail. I just bring you the facts. But the facts are that the New Testament has been hopelessly jumbled, intentionally so. And my question for you is, what are they trying to hide from you? And are you going to just sit there and take it? Because up until now, folks, ignorance has been bliss. Well, we don't know any better, so, you know, we just go along and we just believe. And, I mean, look at the world that this has brought us to. Has ignorance really been bliss? Well, folks, if ignorance has been bliss, truth is about to be a bitch. That's why the Christian whistleblower is here, brother. And I have a question for you, and this is a wretched Americanism for those of you that are not in America, but in the words of the immortal prophet Hulk Hogan, what you going to do when the Christian whistleblower breaks out all over you, brother? What are you going to do when reality comes into your life and shows you, wow, this is a mess? Yeshua said, you're going to know the truth. And when you know the truth will set you free. Now, I was a Pentecostal evangelist for a lot of years, and they had this little song they used to sing. It was mainly in Sunday school. And the song went like this. I won't sing it. It said, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the house on the rock stood firm. And then the next verse is, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the house on the sand went splat. And that's what's about to happen. The foolishness, the sand of the doctored New Testament and the sand of the false Pauline narrative is caving in. It's falling flat. People are leaving big time religion in droves. But I'm glad about that because they're leaving the shifting sands of human religion, and many of them are going to find the solid rock of divine revelation. In many cases, you've got to unlearn error before you can learn truth. Queen Georgiana, I agree with you on that. Thank you for that comment. And we will be back tomorrow with more fresh daily show version of the Christian Whistleblower. You can find me at jeffreydaugherty.com, christianwhistleblower.com. And until tomorrow, this is Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian Whistleblower, and I'm wishing you peace and light.
Stay connected with the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. On Facebook, follow Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show, and on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Visit christianwhistleblower.com today to learn how to create yourself and to live the life you'll love.